I am really excited by the level of interest in this topic. It has become a great passion of mine to share these insights with other people. And my excitement arises from my hope that as this information travels around in the network, which I hope that it will, we are going to become more effective in reaching people and making NVC useful in the world. Because I am imagining that a lot of people have had this experience of encountering someone who says, oh, NVC? Oh, that's awful. That's mechanical. That doesn't sound like people talking to each other. It doesn't sound authentic, etc., etc., etc. I hear this a lot. And I have such a deep faith that what we have to offer can transform things on all levels into a way of living that is more nurturing, more peaceful, allows all of us to really have satisfying lives and can really transform our institutions and social structures to support all of that. So I have big hopes for NVC, and I want how we teach it and how we practice it and use it to be aligned with that vision and to make it easy for people to embrace it. So that is my big hope for this. I would love to hear from at most 5 people what is calling you to join this class. That will give me a sense of the community. So, if you would like to express briefly, what is drawing you to this class? Why are you joining?
I was drawn to what you were saying about now we know how, let's talk about why we're doing this. And I've been doing NVC since 1994, and I've always had this belief that people need to understand the underlying premises, that they'll get it so much faster, and that it'll really mean something to them because they understand where it's coming from. So it sounded like that's the kind of thing you're going to be talking about. It was very interesting to me.
Thank you. Let me take another person.
I'm working at the Community Guidance Center doing psychotherapy and counseling. My desire to have a really good thing to contribute prompted me to sign up for the class. And I know when I took classes from you before, I was working at the Veterans Administration.
Yeah.
I often felt very inspired the next day after the classes and was really touched and moved to enjoy going to work. And I'm hoping something like that again. And
no pressure. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
For me, I'm most interested in the practice, what you call sometimes the daily practice or more the personal practice of NVC. I find it intriguing and challenging for me. It's easier for me to practice in a group, but to apply NVC in my work or day-to-day life, I was hoping to hear more about that from you.
I want to say I am so happy to have arrived at a place in my life where I don't feel anxiety in saying what I'm about to say. I don't think that this class will give you what you're looking for, because the focus of this class is how you share NVC with others, not what you do inside yourself with NVC. I'm happy for you to stay and see if you get something from it anyway. I want to be clear, that's not the focus.
I appreciate the honesty, and I'll stay just to hear.
Okay, thank you. I'll just hear from 2 more and we'll be done.
I am really eager to learn how to be clear, simple, and articulate in sharing what I believe are the riches of NVC. And I'm also very interested in how anything that I learn from you and others can be applied to thinking about applying a needs-based understanding to systems themselves in the context of thinking about large-scale change.
Thank you.
two reasons. I've been sharing NVC for the last 5 years. I share NVC over at the local jail. I teach about somewhere between 10 and 12 classes a week, and I would just love to learn, like, a deep in a way how to share it in a way where just anything new. And the second reason is I try to keep up with your blog, and I've seen a lot of your videos, and I just love the work that you do, and I hope that I could bring some of that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very satisfied to hear the wide range, and it kind of like gives me some taste of where people are coming from. I want to pick up the thread where you were talking about being attracted to the shift from the how to the why. And I want to talk about that just for a couple of minutes, and then I want to give you a couple more instructions for where to put your attention and then put you in small groups for a while. So what I have observed a lot is that the way people learn NVC, and this may be happening even though people are teaching it differently from what I'm about to say, because I'm quite aware of the difference between what we teach and what other people learn. So I can only speak to the latter more so than the former, which is that a lot of people learn NVC as a technique, as something that you do, a particular way of speaking, which they use in a variety of contexts, whether it's agreed upon by others or not, whether they've integrated the NVC consciousness or not, and often are saddled with a kind of like a contraction around whether they're using it correctly, which takes their attention away from what is it that they're wanting to create in that moment by speaking. What I am much more interested in supporting people in being able to do is to get clear on what their purpose and intention is when they speak or when they listen, and tie the practices directly to what those intentions and awarenesses are. So that's huge for me, because I know for myself that when I am connected to a why, I have much more motivation, patience, space, and interest in the how. If somebody tells me, this is how you do something, and I don't know why it's done in that particular way, I am less likely to make it my own. I'm more likely to want to follow what has been said to me. And so that's the piece about it that really inspires me, the shift from how to why. Another aspect of it is the principles, the intention, the purpose, the goal, that what I want to create has so much more energy and juice in it than the A, B, C, D of NVC. And so I want people to be inspired and motivated and energized by clarity of why they're doing what they're doing. I want to know if anybody has any questions or comments in response to what I just said.
I have been interested in this, and the last experience I had actually, other than doing a practice group of actually trying to teach NVC, I was co-facilitating with someone who wanted to, the minister who wanted to bring it to his church, and he was so fixed on teaching the how that there wasn't a space for me to do this. I found it excruciating. So I'm excited to hear whatever comes up about the why to reinvigorate myself, because I'm considering teaching again. And unless it really comes from a place that I feel comfortable with, I'm not willing ever to do it again. Just because somebody wants it taught that way, it doesn't mean I can do it. And I wasn't able to convince him otherwise. I made a compromise. It was disastrous for me. I mean,
thank you. I'm curious if you had a chance to read the materials before you joined today. I see the connection to the why happening in at least three different ways. One is that I can connect the practices to the why. In other words, in the situation that you were facing, if somebody really wants you to teach the standard way, quote-unquote, observations, feelings, needs, requests, you can still tie it back to a why. And you can do it by focusing directly on why each of the components is significant. And in the materials, you will see that I offer a beginning of how you can do that. What is it that we get from focusing on observations? What is it that we get from focusing on feelings? That's one direction of why, and I'm not entirely sure how our time will unfold, because I tend to follow what's alive and meaningful, so we may or may not get to it, but that is something that we might get to. That's one way of moving from how to why. Another way of connecting things to the why is inside of us. I want us to be really clear on what the consciousness means to us, what the principles are that we follow, and have that deeply integrated into us so that we know the passion that lives in us when we teach, so that even if we teach observation, feelings, needs, requests, which I value tremendously as a practice tool, when we teach that, we internally know why we even bother globally, and then we can interject it at any moment that it fits. Another aspect of it is, it's still internal, is having a real understanding of our own path within NVC. And part of what was included in the materials is this thing that I call approaches to NVC. And being able to tie my practice to the overall why of what I'm trying to create to the world, in the world, is another connection to the why. And the last one, which I'm quite confident we won't get into today, although it might pop up, is being able to connect the why to people's experience of what's challenging in their life. This is, for me, the key to transforming the way we share NVC with other people. If we're able to tie the why to their challenge, offer them an intention or an understanding or a principle that they can go, oh yeah, I see how this will help me in this situation, then the link is made and the why serves for connection. So those are the four aspects of it. And I'm confident that if you had all of this integrated, you would have been able to work things out such that you would tell this person, oh yeah, I will talk about observations, feelings, needs, requests, and then go inside and tie it all to the why in a way that he would be satisfied, you would be satisfied, and the participants. Wondering if this probably way more than you bargained for in raising this question.
It's good, because he moved away, I moved into other things in my life, and I never quite integrated that experience. And yeah. So this feels very good to do that, because it was a raw place kind of keeping me from wanting to even try. And I did some of those things, and that part was satisfied, but not as a whole. And to be able to pull it all together as a whole would have been so much better, and it would have been so much easier for him, too.
Thank you. Okay, so what I would like to do now is I'd like to put you in small groups to start engaging with some of the questions that you've received ahead of time. And I'm planning today to focus on the inner aspects of it, how you internally orient yourself so that you are ready to speak to the why, so that you are so connected to the why that it oozes out of you, so that when somebody asks you what is a nonviolent communication, you can give 15 different answers depending on your intuitive sense of who is the person in front of you, so that every conversation that you have with someone becomes a way of sharing NVC. So that's my big hope for today. So what I would like you to do in the group is to review the approaches to NVC and see if there are people in the group that have actually thought about it and engaged with it. They can speak to their choice of what particular approach speaks to them, and you can engage on that question for a while, and what that means to you also. Why is it that you chose it, and how this relates to the other pieces? So it's really, I want you to review the questions that I gave you ahead of time and engage with these two for now. So the first question is, what is your approach and how is it meaningful to you? And the second is, which of the assumptions and or intentions that were included in the document connect with this approach and why? My hope is to increase everybody's ability to be sharp and articulate about the whys, so that we really come across to people with clarity and inspiration. So my goal is that you're able to say things in one or two sentences at most. And you can practice for a while. The shorter you can say things, the clearer your concepts, the more other people can relax into what you say, understand it. They may agree or disagree, that's not the point. They will have an easier time grasping it and integrating it. And then the next thing that I want to ask is, does anyone have any questions about what I'm asking you to do?
The first part was, what is your approach and how is it meaningful for you?
Yeah.
And then the second one was what?
How do you relate this approach to the assumptions and intentions? Which assumptions and intentions are particularly relevant to this approach? This is all to ground our capacity to articulate what NVC means to us. It's just different ways of focusing our attention there.
Thank you.
What I'm noticing is that when I'm looking at it for myself personally versus when I'm teaching, that there's differences.
For today, I'm talking about your own, and I'm hoping that you can get into that discussion, because in the teaching, you're speaking to one of the things that are so important to me, is that we tailor which principles we pick to the challenges and experiences of the population that we are with. That's what I meant by, you know, having 15 different ways of even answering the question, what is NVC? So sinking into your own, hearing from others their own, that's what the activity was for me today. That I want to support you in being able to relate between that and the approach or approaches that speak to you. Which assumptions and intentions are particularly relevant to the approach or approaches that are meaningful to you? All right. I would like to have this conversation go on for 12 minutes. When we come back, I will check to see if I underestimated and people want more time, then we can do more time then.
Somebody want to jump in on that first question?
I'm happy to jump in. The one principle that stood out in the handout was NVC as a process for authentic connection with oneself and others. And the assumption that connected to that for me was all human beings have the capacity for compassion. Maybe as a first round, just sharing that. Does that make sense?
The first question, as I understood it, is what is your approach and how is it meaningful to you? Maybe you can say something about how that's meaningful to you.
How it's meaningful. Because I experience it when I give myself empathy and when I work with people and they experience these amazing transformations, and it really starts with the authentic connection with self and then also with others. For me, that's maybe the one that stands out the most.
I have quite a few principles And then there was space for you to add one that was not there. And that's what I'm going to talk about. The principle that resonates very much with me is NVC helps me gain clarity about what goes on in me, especially when triggered, bringing the relief experience with self-connection and the peace that results from changing judgment to needs, awareness that there's always choice, and clarity that we can take actions to meet needs, our own needs, and the needs of others. And the assumptions that I connect to what I just read is all we do is an attempt to meet needs. And something that is really very interesting for me, and it's part of one of the assumptions, is our assessment of whether our needs seem to us met or unmet almost invariably involves an interpretation or belief. This is something that I'm really, really interested in, exploring beliefs that make us experience needs as met or unmet, and sometimes our experience is not really what's happening. Thank you.
I have a question. I was wondering how you feel about what you said, what it means to you, maybe with an example or something.
Basically, I think the two most important aspects of what I said to me is I value NVC greatly as a tool for clarity about what goes on in me and in other people when triggered. That's one, succinctly expressed. The other one is exploring beliefs, because it's been my experience that sometimes actually my needs are being met, but because of a belief, I'm experiencing that my needs are not being met. And this happens a lot. I would say 90% of the time. So that's something that I'm really very, very interested in, beliefs, especially when I experience a need not being met.
So are you talking about limiting beliefs that, like core jackal beliefs? Is that what you're referring to?
I think anytime we're triggered, it's because there's a belief going on. And our needs might actually not necessarily be unmet, but the belief makes us perceive that our needs are not being met. That's basically what I said. Does that give you some clarity?
Yeah, and it's really interesting, that last point you made. That's really kind of taking my understanding of that concept just another step further. It's been alive for me in the last few months.
There was a course by Holly Eckert that I learned from that was NVC for NVC haters. There is a part of NVC that I really, really love and a part that I dislike, which is the approach that I learned NVC through, and this is why I'm taking the course. I'm keen on learning more about principle-based teaching, go towards the why and maybe towards the new how. I'd like to hear from any of you to maybe extend on what you said before.
I'd like to share something about the question, what is your approach? My approach in teaching NVC has shifted, and I'm using an approach to a direct experience of NVC rather than focusing on the concepts or a formulaic way to practice NVC. An example of what I mean by a direct experience of NVC is that one of the exercises that we offer is something called a jackal cocktail party, where people write down a judgment about themselves, and then they share it with another person at the party, and the other person offers them empathy. And so doing this, this person who's brand new to NVC and who's never used NVC before is actually giving empathy maybe for the first time in their life. That's our approach. And why that's meaningful to me is because if you look at number 6 assumption and number 7 assumption, all humans have the capacity for compassion. That's a big one for me because sometimes I get a little bit bigoted as an NVC practitioner and I judge people and I say, they don't know NVC, they're so uncompassionate, I'm so sad. By teaching NVC this way, it's showing me that people who have never been exposed to NVC before are able to just immediately shift into offering compassion. And then the second principle below that that human beings enjoy giving. And I was recently using this approach of teaching NVC with a room full of men, many of whom I knew to be very competitive and also having a habit of giving lots of advice to each other. But I saw them, you know, really genuinely enjoying giving and supporting with each other in that meeting. And then the key intention that this example is related to is receiving with compassion and expressing from the heart. Those are two of the key intentions that seem to relate to this. So when people exercise with the Jackal cocktail party, I'm seeing them receiving this new person with compassion right then and there on the spot. So that's my experience. It's been really fun.
I guess I'm the last one. I have been around VC for, I don't know, the past 6 months or something. I can't say I have an approach. I'm just developing a workshop because I'm just finishing 15 years of working on a theory. I just finished a theoretical dissertation on what it is that's still producing intolerance. And so when I bumped into MVC with Mickey, a light bulb went on because I went, you know, the model that I've built describes what it is that makes MVC work. And so I'm really kind of excited to be around it. And you guys have much more experience with it than I do, so I'm content to hear about your approaches to it.
I was curious what it was that you were studying before and maybe how that ties into NVC to you in a meaningful way, your research.
The theory really comes from Karen Horney's work back in the 50s. The idea is that we have a real self and a false self, and the real self, NVC, is the natural language of the real self. And the false self, its natural language is the language of complaint and blame and disconnect and all that. And that the game is really to learn how to shift one's attention from the false self to the real self. So getting to know what false self sounds like. So when I first was in an NVC thing with Mickey, I went, oh my God, people are already out there doing it.
Oh, I feel some celebration and joy hearing that.
Welcome back. I am very eager to hear what are some of your comments, reflections, ahas, questions, or anything else that you would like to bring into our collectively held space. Anything you want to explore more deeply?
I was surprised, in a way, to see that in reading the list of principles and the intentions and assumptions that I now actually spend most of my life living in that. On the other hand, it's not like I don't know how to really say this, but it's not like I'm doing it like, oh, this is this principle that I'm doing right now, or this is this intention that I'm living right now, or as I'm speaking with someone, then it's like, am I supposed to be doing that so as that I can have that awareness and be able to answer in the moment what is NVC? Because when I'm asked what is NVC, a lot of times I'm like, and I know that what it is in my life. So it's kind of confusing to me right now.
Thank you. I'd like to engage with it for a moment on two levels. First, I don't know if you are familiar. I imagine some people on the call are and some aren't. There is a learning model that defines four states. First one is called unconscious incompetence. When you don't know something and you don't even know that you don't know it. Second one is conscious incompetence. When you don't know something and you are now very aware that you don't know it, it's a very uncomfortable state. And most of us, at some point or another in our study of NVC, go through this and sometimes spiral through different levels of this. It's like, oh my God, I know that I'm about to botch this conversation. And I know it's because my skill is not where I want it to be, and I have no idea what I would do. That's the conscious incompetence. The third state is conscious competence. This is what happens when people practice NVC in their life instead of in a practice group. When we are trying to master the new skills, and we are very awkward in those times. And the fourth state is called unconscious competence. when what you've learned has become an integral part of who you are. What I'm guessing is that you're describing the fourth state. I first of all want to know if that matches for you.
It does.
The key to being able to make your mastery useful to others is to be able to bring yourself back in your memory or in your awareness to the two conscious states. From within the state of conscious incompetence, you can relate to the person's challenge. You can empathically envision it because you can remember what it was like for you. Through bringing your attention back to the conscious competence, you can then make verbal what you do inside unconsciously. This is essential for being able to relate it to others. Otherwise, you get into the situation of math teachers for whom it's so easy to do the math that they don't even understand why the children are struggling, and they get impatient with them, and they are not able to actually explain what you're supposed to do. This capacity to imagine your way back into the conscious states of the process is critical for being able to answer that question. Wondering if that resonates for you.
Oh, thank you. You've just given me just this incredible clarity about what I've been experiencing this week because I've started teaching again, and all of a sudden I'm getting all these clarities and understandings, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's why that works that way, and that's, oh, yeah, that's what that is. And you've just described what it is that I've gone through. So thank you.
Thank you.
Could you help me to understand how you teach the principles on one hand and also try and embody the principles at the same time? Because that's a huge struggle for me, and I'm just wondering if there's like a particular assumption or intention. I guess my broader question is, over the arc of your own deepening in this, what has been most helpful for bringing fluidity?
So I'm not confident that I understood your question, because the distinction you're making between embodying the principles and teaching them, for me, embodying the principles is almost a precondition to teaching them.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen for me.
Meaning what?
Meaning sometimes when I'm intending to impart the principles, I'm not allowing myself to get stimulated and become reactive and not coming from a self-connected place or something like that. Like I notice that I just have some difficulty with sometimes simultaneously trying to impart information and also being mindful of it.
So it's specifically the teaching context that gets you out of action?
No, you're right, it isn't.
Then I would say that, you know, I'm not saying don't teach. I'm saying keep working on integrating and embodying the principles. It will apply in all situations, not just in teaching. I still wanted to have more understanding. Is it that when you are teaching, you're more likely to get stimulated because you're trying to teach, or it's just that?
Yeah, I do think so, which is probably because I'm still struggling with it conceptually myself. Point of view, when I watch people ask you questions, the responses you give have such depth and breadth, not to put you on a pedestal, but just there's obviously so much that you've put behind consideration of all of this, and I think that's probably something that I'm lacking, and that's why the stimulation comes up.
So it's somehow lack of trust of yourself.
Yeah, I think so.
So one of the things that you can do that I encourage anyone to do who is struggling with confidence is to bring together a group of people that you really trust, close friends of yours, and ask them to give you feedback. And do it very slowly. The purpose is not to teach them. The purpose is for them to help you become conscious of what happens in you that gets you stimulated.
Thank you so much. That's absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Sure.
The audience that I teach to, or I share NVC with is a jail population. And I know that's very different than a population of people that are coming in and putting money up front and saying, I'm committing to this, rather than, okay, I'm choosing just to do this because it's available. The one thing that I struggle with is that for a while I would teach the basics of empathy and honesty and really focus on that and really not try to focus too much on principles and kind of assume that we would land on those principles and that the healing would take place. And what I noticed is that that wasn't always the case. And at the time, I didn't have these principles and this document that you're sharing now. So I brought in Martin Luther King's principles of nonviolence, and I tried sharing those, and we would have discussions on some of them. And one of the ones that really stands out for me is that the oppressor has also been victimized. And I had a tough time, like, in some ways, sharing it with other people and them being convinced and saying, yeah, I full-heartedly agree with these. And I think I understood it now when he said earlier, like, I could tie what their struggles are with some of the principles of NVC. But I'm just curious, like, how would you share these principles with the group? Would it be a discussion style? Would it be, you know, examples? Or I'm just curious, how would you do that?
I don't generally share them as, now this is what I'm going to share, principle A, principle B, principle C. I'm planning to get more into this as the course progresses. But to just give you a brief idea, what I do is when I have an awareness of, let's say, a challenge that someone faces, in responding to them, I bring in a principle or a practice or an aspect of NVC that I believe can be helpful to them. So instead of presenting an abstract principle, let's say somebody would bring up a lot of anger about how they're being treated by the prison authorities, let's say. I'm trying to relate it to the principle that you just brought up. Would that be a good example?
Yes.
If I can then, at some point, after hearing them with empathy and all of that, if at some point I can insert the radical notion that if they see the humanity of the person who is oppressing them, then they are going to have more power inside themselves, that can prick their ears. You see what I mean? I make it contextual to an issue that they have. Does that help?
I like the notion of knowing the principles really well and then going with what's alive in the person and then being able to connect it afterwards. Rather than coming in like, today we are going to talk about principle number A and how it's great. So.
Exactly. You got it. Thank you. That was a very nice sneak preview. Do you want to ask your other question?
I'm having trouble with number 10, human beings change. There's a part of me that's like, why is that on the list?
Because there is so much of a sense that people get either of themselves or of others that they're static. Either through labeling or through, this is just how I am, this is just how that person is, this is just human nature. You know what I'm talking about? Static language? So it's the counter.
Yeah.
It wasn't originally on the list. We added it to the list in response to, every time we have presented this, and when I say we, it's Sinbal, my sister, and I, every time we have presented it, we've asked people if they see more principles to add. And one time somebody said, yes, here's one. So we thought about it and reflected, and it made sense to us, so we added it, which is an example of itself. You see what I mean?
I do. I understand it in terms of being more present and calling myself back to reminding myself that this is a new moment all the time and that change is constantly taking place.
Is this enough?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Until I looked at this handout that was associated with today, it hadn't even occurred to me that I had this limited view of NVC, that I was just focusing on basically NVC as a way to make an authentic connection both to myself and others. I guess I've been taught it from that point of view, and it's lovely to get the freedom to say it's a strategy for several different wonderful goal. feeling a tremendous sense of freedom just looking at this list.
Thank you. Part of what is significant to me in having the approaches listed is there are two key benefits that I see. In addition to the just the self-awareness, one is I know it helps me make sense of what other trainers are doing. Before I articulated this to myself, I was puzzled. Why are they teaching it in this way? It doesn't make sense to me. So this gives me spaciousness for different ways that people teach NVC, and I can even think about who to channel to whom based on my sense of their approach. Second, and to my mind more significant in terms of my ability to be a useful support to people, is I can be prepared to connect with people who are intuitively drawn to different aspects of NVC instead of thinking that NVC is this one thing. So it gives me that other opportunity as well. So anything else you want to say before I proceed to the next person?
No, that was really just this tremendous sense of freedom to view NVC through different lenses at different times and begin to think about what I'm talking about with different people, that it may make sense to view it, well, almost definitely make sense to view it through different lenses when you're talking to different people with different objectives. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I've been co-teaching a Dharma study, like a Buddhist discussion group and meditation group at a local prison. And recently I've thought it just happens in our discussions sometimes that some of the, you know, the principles of the Buddha's teachings really mesh well with a lot of NVC principles. And I was particularly appreciating the number 10, the human beings change. My thought with that population, because like the example you gave of seeing the humanity in the COs or the correction officers, some of the COs, they also have done time. So there's something really fundamental about that. And for these guys now to know that they can change, you know, it's really helpful. The other pieces, my co-teachers have been on vacation. I've been teaching by myself, and I'm not a great expert on the Dharma. You know, we meditate, and then they've been talking a lot lately about their lives and what goes on every day. It was such a learning experience for me how at times they, to survive the gangs that are there and all of that, I just was really like, it was eye-opening. So I just really appreciate William asking that question and you giving that example, because I would like to bring in more of, I think, when a situation comes up with them, just to sort of almost kind of slip it in. This is something that would be helpful.
I am intending from a certain moment on in this course to have small groups that will be affinity-based, people who are interested in working with similar populations. So it could be teachers, parents, communities, organizations, and seeing how different the results are in terms of what the challenges are that people face and what could then therefore be meaningful to them about NVC. I want us to have that versatility, so I hope you stick around and join in looking at prison population.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Thank you.
My small group also focused some on that basic assumption that human beings change, and really appreciating it showing up on such a comprehensive list. And also relating it, the other side of the coin is, you know, a willingness on my part to be affected by my experience, by what I observe in the world, by what someone else tells me. I can change too.
Yeah, that exactly is true.
Yeah.
It applies not only to other people.
That's right. That was the point.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, what I would like you to do now is go back to your group, and just because this came up, I would like you to practice for a few minutes with each other a context or a population in which the question, what is NVC, might come up, and different answers that you might have for it. So I kind of envision it as kind of like rapid fire. One person says, I am the CEO of a corporation that you managed to have an audience with, and this person says, what is NVC? And you answer the question. And somebody else says, I'm a parent of a four-year-old that you're talking to in the supermarket, and the person says, what is NVC, etc. And just practice the different responses to different situations. So that's what I would like you to do in the group, is just be creative in coming up with scenarios where one person brings up a scenario and another person answers the question, what is NVC, in one or two sentences at most. You can also choose your own population. You can also say, I want to answer for this type of population. So just play with it. The point is to be lighthearted about it, and it's not about getting it right. It's about getting loose. Anybody needs further clarity about this? Okay. Okay, so let's go in the group for 7 minutes, and we'll come back afterwards to engage further. Welcome back. I would love to hear from a few people if you had any responses that were satisfying to you in particular. Let's hear from Eric.
I like when we were talking about talking to an executive, talking about efficiency, and that this is a way to allow people to communicate in a very efficient way. But the other thing that came up for me that we didn't talk about was that if I had an opportunity to first give empathy to the person so I know what's alive for them,
uh-huh,
I'm going to do a hell of a lot better job if I'm talking in terms of how this might work to address something that's up for them.
Absolutely. I like that you went there. Thank you. Karen?
I had the exact same epiphany. I realize I've been trying to sell NVC to all my deeply discouraged friends. And instead, it's like I want to be present with what it must feel like to really believe that change is not possible.
Yeah. And I want to say that if you do that, what comes to me is that what you can tell these people is that NVC can offer them a way to be present with their despair.
Mm. That's a language, Mickey, that I think would totally put off. You know, if I said something like that,
uh-huh,
oh, I don't think that will fly at all. I don't think that language would fly at all.
Okay, so they're not consciously discouraged. They're consciously
angry. No, they are
consciously.
Well, no, they're very consciously discouraged, but I could imagine them saying, I don't want to feel any more despair than I feel right now. I don't, thank you, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I feel like some of this would be wonderful in like a more extended role play that we could all hear.
Yeah.
Thank
I got
you.
It. Yeah. I'm confident that we'll come back to this. Today it's kind of like just a taster of some different things.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. So I don't see any more people that want to share. But I would love to hear at least one more person. What's something that you were kind of like satisfied that came in your group? John.
One of the guys in the group, he responded to the question, what is NVC, if he was asked that by a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that in 2010, there was a study done of thousands of managers at IBM. And the question that the managers were asked, what is the challenge of the next decade?
Mm-hmm.
And they identified the biggest obstacle as complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that NVC is providing a way to create clarity in conversations in the workplace.
I love it. I love it not because I think it's the best answer. I love it because it shows the creativity that we can bring to the issues that people present to us. So thank you for this example. I'm
welcome.
Really appreciating it. So the last piece that I want to do, because I have such a deep reverence for the practice, and I want to make sure that We don't, you know, kind of like let go of the practice just because we focus on principles. I want to make sure that we tie them together and that we give room for the practice in the settings for which it is designed. So I would like you to go back to your group and to talk about what are some of the practices that you've learned through NVC, what aspects of the key basic practices you find supportive of the path that you're on with NVC, and share that with each other. I want to take, again, about 7 minutes. Now we can start the groups. Welcome back. And once again, I would like to hear from a couple of people. And then I have a couple of things to say about the rest of the course. And then we'll close. Please press 1 if you would like to share what emerged from your group, what you've learned or what questions you have. Patricia.
One of the things that our group brought up was in terms of just being with NVC and practicing NVC, when something came up to trigger us, the practice idea of just stopping, whether it be focusing on your breathing or thinking about backing up or some way to stop and then to slow down and come from a perspective of need.
Uh-huh.
And how that coming from a perspective of need was just so valuable in terms of keeping NVC alive in whatever we were doing.
Thank you. I'm really appreciating that you brought this example because I, A, completely understand what you're talking about, and B, you didn't finish what I wanted you to do, which is why is it that stopping, breathing, connecting with needs is valuable? What does it support? What does it actually give you? That's what I would want you to be able to articulate to someone who hasn't had that experience.
You're right. I'm thinking back, and I'm not remembering if that came up. But what I can think of right now is it is a way just to connect me so completely with myself and with what is really going on. It gives me a clarity of where I am and what action I may want to take next.
Okay, so it supports choice.
Yes.
Freedom or choice or something like this. I want you to be able to articulate that because
okay.
That moves it from touchy-feely, weird, woo-woo, whatever, to, oh, I want to have choice and freedom. That's unusual. I've never done this. I've never stopped. I don't know what they talk about needs, but if that supports choice, I want it. Do you see what I mean?
I do. Thank you.
Thank you. That was delightful to have this little exchange. And before we close, I would love to hear from 2 or 3 people, just 1 line, what stood out to you from today? What are you taking with you that is going to affect how you share NVC with others? Miro.
Thank you. I'd like to say that I was surprised and pleased by how much I've learned in a small group by engaging.
Yeah, I would love to hear what it was that you learned, what you got.
Well, I was able to see other people being able to speak from their heart about what NVC is, and it enlarged my own perspective. Thank you.
Carl?
Nikki, it was a left brain, right brain that you offered us in terms of the global, intuitive, abstract knowing versus the detailed, logical, sort of linear, sequential. I love both.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And let's see. Dory.
Well, I'm really appreciating that 2 participants brought up the idea that people change, and I'm really appreciating that.
Mm-hmm. Anjali?
I really appreciate the specific way of tailoring my response to what's really alive in another person to really create more connection and give them, hopefully, a direct, concrete strategy that they can somehow relate to that's really meaningful.
Thank you. And David?
For me, it was, I really enjoyed going from kind of the strategies that I use in NVC and going from there to the principal instead of thinking of the principal then going to the strategy. So I just enjoyed that little switch.
Uh-huh. Thank you. And Tina, you get the final word.
For me, it was, I forget who was asking the question around having trouble with confidence in teaching and sort of conveying the principles, and your suggestion of bringing together a group of trusted friends, presenting to them and asking for their honest feedback. Such a practical, I love that suggestion.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I very much hope to find many of you in the rest of the course. Bye for now.